Hasidic Jazz Project on WLRN's Evening Jazz, Miami Mondays and beyond, as in Reuben Hawk and the CJP. We're very pleased to welcome Reuben Hawk to the Igloo tonight. Hi, Reuben.
Hi, Tracy.
So, what was that we were just listening to? Please tell us about it.
Sure, that was Avinu Malkeinu, the first track off the Reuben Hawk and the Hasidic Jazz Project CD, which was recorded live at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts a couple of years back, yep.
One of the reasons that Reuben has stopped by to spend some time with us tonight is the Hasidic Jazz Project will be performing on Saturday at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach. The garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street, and showtime is 8 p.m. Have I been missing a whole lot of shows by the CJP, Reuben, or is this a rare opportunity for us all?
Fortunately, there have been a lot of shows over the years.
And I've missed them. Okay.
Okay. Well, at least they're going on. That's the good thing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll get you out to one of them real soon.
I'm looking forward to Saturday. Indeed, I am. So, all right, let's begin at the beginning with the Hasidic Jazz Project. I kind of just enjoy saying that, you know, Hasidic, Halabrid. I like to practice fun words to say.
You say it very well.
Thank you. I've been working on it. So, tell us about this group. Tell us about where it came from and how you started it and what's the purpose?
I think the impetus to start the group was Charlie Fishman, who was Dizzy Gillespie's manager and the United Nations Orchestra's lead person. And Charlie and I knew each other for many years ago. Charlie lived in Israel many years back. I was there from 84 to 88, living in the Tel Aviv area. And when I completed one of my prior CDs, I was hanging with him and playing some music for him, and he just turned around to me and said, you know, you really need to do something with this Jewish stuff you know all about. And I said, can we get back to the subject at hand here, Charlie? You okay, man? Is everything all right? He said, no, really, you have this rich culture and background, and you know a lot of stuff about, you know, the religion as a Jew and the liturgy. You ever think of doing something with that? And I said, absolutely not. And I guess that was the impetus. And I took about 5 or 6 years after that to, give it a lot of thought. And here we are today, thanks to Charlie.
I'm trying to figure out how you go from that idea to figuring out how to give it musical life. Can you tell us about that process?
Oh, that's a journey. We began as a trio. Myself, Tom Lippincott, who's been with the band since time immemorial, since the very beginning. And originally we had a wonderful Turkish bassist by the name of İlkin Deniz, who I'm sure a lot of musicians from the area know about. Wonderful player who goes back and forth from here to Turkey quite a bit. And so we had a performance, I think it was at the Hollywood Performing Arts Center, back when there was a little art gallery originally, many, many years ago. And someone approached me and said, would you be interested in doing something with a Jewish theme for us? And I think it was actually around one of the Israel's anniversaries of 40th or something like that. And I said, come to think of it, it's something I have thought about. And I was put on the spot. And Tom and I hit the books and hit the charts and said, okay, how are we going to do this? And it started as a trio. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, I said, I'm hearing a lot more than this.
So there's the musical aspect of it. How did you decide which aspects of the Jewish part of it you were going to bring to music?
I think that part was pretty easy. I grew up on this stuff, Tracy. I've been
Jewish all your
Jewish
life,
all my life. And davening and praying all my life and hearing these tunes. So for me, there was a lot of stuff to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we originally set out to do were things that certainly the Jewish audience would be somewhat familiar with. And I was actually much more interested in the non-Jewish audience and always have been. We kind of look at ourselves as being messengers in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It really gave me the opportunity to pull from a lot of different things within the liturgy. And in some respects, we're an original band, mm-hmm. but in other respects, we're a cover band. We're playing standards. We're playing Jewish standards and not klezmer. We're not playing the klezmer standards. That's a whole other world, which I really don't delve that much into.
There are plenty of klezmer bands.
A lot of klezmer bands, correct.
All right, I guess it's time now to go back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. As you said, you've been doing this Jewish thing for quite a long time. Among other things you've been doing for quite a long time, you were born in Brooklyn, and you became a professional musician at an early age.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Somewhere about the age of 10 or 11, the drum bug bit me.
How did that happen?
Oh, man, I'll tell you how it happened. Of all things, it happened at Hasidic weddings that I used to go to with the family and hear the klezmer bands and the Hasidic bands. And I was mesmerized by the drummers, and some of which I still remember, Eddie Allen, Sid Stadlin. These guys were just fantastic players. And, you know, I started nudging my mother and saying, hey, Mom, you know, I really like that. And, you know, my dad's answer was, why do you have to like that? Why do you like – that's loud. And we live in an apartment. How are we going to do this? But, man, they were great. They were so supportive. Bless their souls. They're both gone, and they just supported it full-heartedly and wholeheartedly. And, but that was my introduction to music. And from there, I think at about the age of 13, you know, Buhaina walked into my life. And
I really want to hear about that.
Well, there was a record that I came across in a record shop in Manhattan called The Drums on ABC Impulse. It was a 3 or 4 record box set. And, you know, I saved up my pennies and bought this thing. And I had no idea who these guys on this record were. The names meant nothing to me. But it had a picture of a drum head on it and was called The Drums. And when I got home, I turn it over, flip it over, and I see Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And I put it on the record player because that's what we had back then. And after about, I don't know, 10 seconds, I picked the arm up off of the record and said, I have no idea what that guy was doing, but I want to be able to do that one day. And that's how it kind of all began, thanks to Art.
And let's see, later on you worked with some folks who had worked with him.
Yes. Yes, that was very exciting. That was kind of a dream come true at that point. Dave Schnitter, Valerie Ponomarev, they were both in Art's band at the same time. My dear old friend Lonnie Plaxico. So I had a band called Reuben Hawk and Repercussions. And these are some of the guys that I was fortunate enough to break my teeth on and, you know, get going in, on the New York jazz scene.
Which happened, as I recall, when you were you able to drive? That's the marker that we use in other places. When you started gigging?
I was not.
So I'm impressed by the fact that, you know, I'm always impressed when a young person is able to do something like that. And, you know, it's not like you just started out, say, in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina. No, you became a professional musician in New York City as a very young man.
Yeah.
Tell me about getting your first gig.
Well, I have to thank my dad because he was so supportive. He took me to all my gigs with great pleasure. And what a very dedicated father, incredible man. And, you know, I actually remember the first professional gig I had. It was at a catering hall in New York. I think it was called Leonard's. It was this big, big, massive hall. And I had to get a tuxedo for this gig. And, man, I was lost. But we got there, and I got out of the elevator, and I was met by a guy named Marty Laskin. If anybody out there knows Marty, no one can deny the fact that he's one of the most incredible alto players on the planet. I walk onto this gig, and this guy starts playing, and I thought I was listening to Phil Woods all night. Just off the charts. And so that was my first professional gig with Marty, of all people. It's funny you should ask this question. It just, you know, I was able to conjure that one up. I think I was either 16 and a half or 17 at the time. And thanks to guys like that, you know, you're able to grow and really learn a lot about being a musician.
And, well, what happened after that? Okay, you're 16, 17 years old. You're a professional musician.
Yeah.
You're still a student, I imagine.
Yes, yes. Well, it was passion and dedication. You know, my life at that point was committed to just woodshedding and playing all the time. I came home from high school, you know, every day. you know, I ran to two records in particular, Miles Smiles. And then after I got a dose of that, and of course the great Tony Williams, who is, you know, my idol, then I put on Jeff Beck Blow by Blow. And that was, for me, one of the most influential improvisational albums, I think, in the history of music.
So you've got these influences and the cats that you worked with.
Yeah.
And it kind of all starts to come together. You're still a young man, though. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, something I started to say kind of interesting happens here. The road forks, or does the road fork, or do you find yourself with a sidecar professionally, so to speak?
Well, you know, I was studying music. I was in school, and I wound up taking some non-music courses. And
because they make you do that.
They make you do that, exactly.
And there's
exactly.
a reason why they make you do that.
I guess there is a reason. The core courses, which everybody kind of hates, and I was no different than anyone else. And I guess anything that happened academically in high school for me was a blur if it didn't have, four beats in the measure or on a piece of music paper. And I wound up taking some science classes, and I found that, I guess numerically, from the music, I think, I was pretty good at equations and, you know, balancing equations.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really nice guy, this Professor Carroll, in one of the universities in New York. He says, you know, you're pretty good at this stuff. I said, really? You know, and I was getting good grades. And he said, I hope you're going to be along next semester for the next class. And, you know, he's such a nice guy. I figured, why not? I'll take his next course. And then it went from there to there to there and to other courses. And I wound up with a minor in chemistry and then a major in chemistry. And after the major, I asked myself, what am I going to do with this now? So I wound up applying to medical school and got accepted. And here I am.
And here you are, Dr. Hawk.
That's
know,
right.
Another one with a split identity.
That's right.
Millionaire Bruce Wayne, who has a nighttime career, and you're kind of, I guess, in that same bracket. So you continue to practice. You've practiced all along, right,
mm-hmm.
ever since you got out of med school.
Right.
And tell me a little bit about your practice here in South Florida. You're into, as I recall, pain management
yeah.
and acupuncture. Tell
right.
me, how did you choose your medical specialty?
Well, first and foremost, through interest. But secondly, I had to pick something that wasn't going to throw me out of bed in the middle of the night or take me off of a gig and, you know.
Come deliver this baby,
or we got a sick heart that needs to be operated on. I made that decision early on that I did not want to be a surgeon. So I wound up in anesthesia as an anesthesiologist, and from there, subspecialty in interventional pain medicine. Pain management has a bad connotation today. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, but I'm not in that part of it.
No, that's not you.
It's not me, no. And then I wound up doing additional training at UCLA Medical School in medical acupuncture, which has been a fascinating journey.
How did that happen?
You know, just thinking out of the box, realizing that there's more to it than pills in a bottle and things that are put in front of people. And, you know, I realized that there was more to it and that there are energies that needed to be tapped into that can be very helpful for many people.
And I guess this is the natural point for me to ask you how the music and the medicine mesh and how one may inform the other.
Well, medicine's an art. And, you know, having improvisational abilities is very helpful as a physician because
mm-hmm.
people don't read the book. They're coming up with new stuff all the time. So if you have that MacGyver aspect to your personality and to your persona, it could be very helpful.
My guest tonight is Reuben Hawk. The drummer, composer, and physician is performing with his Hasidic Jazz Project on Saturday at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach. The garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street. And because it's 3 minutes before 11, I'll go ahead and say that you're listening to 91.3 WLRN and HD1 Miami, Fort Lauderdale, the Palm Beaches, 91.5 WKWM and HD1 Marathon, Key West. Let's listen to some more of your musical work now. Reuben, let's see, we've chosen another track from the CJP recording live at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. This recorded in January of 01. Adon Olam Medley, have I come close to saying that correctly?
Very much so.
Is that the one you wanted to hear, or have we, you know, you can always change your mind. That's
no,
a great thing about Eden
and
Jazz.
That'd be a great one to
okay.
do. Yeah.
So tell us about this.
Okay, so the Adon Olam Medley, it's a two-part piece. The first part of it is a more contemporary version of the Adon Olam, which is a very, very old Jewish liturgical piece that's sung on the Sabbath at the conclusion of the Sabbath morning prayer. And the most common melody that most people know, certainly Jewish people who go to synagogues, is the version written by Gerovich, who was a Russian cantor. If we fast forward to the late 80s, there was a very talented gentleman by the name of Uzi Chitman in Israel. And he was a well-known composer, arranger, and also the producer of Rehov Sumsum, or Sesame Street, in Israel. And I had the good fortune to spend a little bit of time with Uzi in the years that I lived in Israel. I was there from 84 to 88. And he wrote a gorgeous melody to this liturgical piece. And that's the first part of the medley, which I just felt, you know, we really had to pay tribute to Uzi.
And okay, well, I guess we'll just go ahead and listen to it. I thought I was waiting to hear something about the second part of it, but you probably already explained that to us. So
right.
In that case, let's go forward now with the Adon Olam medley. Reuben Hock and the Hasidic Jazz Project on WLRN's Evening Jazz, Miami Mondays and beyond.
Thank you.
Reuben Hawk and the Hasidic Jazz Project live at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. That recording from, my goodness, almost 12 years ago. Reuben Hawk's in the studio here, pardon me, in the igloo with me tonight. Reuben, it's always good to have you here. And let's see, what was I going to say? I was going to talk about, or I was going to ask you to talk about some of the folks. That's a little taste, I guess, of what we can expect from you on Saturday night at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach. Hey, Felipe was there, so who's going to be playing with you? Tell us.
Felipe will be there again, which is always it's a treat to have him with us. As everybody knows, his work with Arturo Sandoval and Gonzalo Rubalcaba and many others, at this point he's become a tremendous leader in and of himself and great, great player. So Felipe will be there, and my partner in crime, the incredible Tom Lippincott, with all 8 strings, will be there. We have a couple of great young players from the New World Symphony, Jeremy Bauman on viola, Aaron Ludwig on cello, and talking about some of the great young talent that has come through University of Miami, the fantastic Josh Allen on bass. And so that rounds us out to the sextet format, which is the way we like to do it.
Again, Reuben Hawk and the Hasidic Jazz Project. I guess I should just go ahead and say that, because that's who's playing on Saturday night.
That's right.
At the Arts Garage in Delray Beach. The Arts Garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street there in Delray. So, let's see, what are you going to play?
We're going to play a bunch of material from the CD, and we've expanded out to a lot more material at this point. You know, you got to keep growing. Mm-hmm. You got to mix it up and keep challenging yourself and move forward. So we're doing more and more material from Reb Shlomo Carlebach. For anyone who knows about Jewish liturgical music, I guess.
And for those of us who don't.
Yeah, well, Reb Shlomo was an amazing man. He was not only an incredible composer, but an incredible humanitarian. Very, very special gentleman. And he composed hundreds of pieces. And, you could spend a lifetime just doing Reb Shlomo's music. And, this is a guy who played, if not Woodstock, was moving around that era with Joan Baez I think Nina Simone was a very good buddy of his. And, he really kept some great company.
Indeed.
So we've integrated more of Reb Shlomo's beautiful, wonderful music into our repertoire. And being the first night of Hanukkah, which is a real nice thing, naturally we'll throw a little Hanukkah flair in there too.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking we're going to get through this whole interview without everyone's mentioning that Hanukkah's coming.
Correct. We did it.
Yeah, almost.
We didn't let it go. The light shone bright.
Yeah, I guess we kind of had to do that, you know. Anyway, yeah, that'll be a good way to start the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's see, what else is coming up? You have that gig on Saturday night. You'll be bringing in, we've talked about who's going to be there with you and
right.
some of what you're going to be playing, but your working weekend as a musician doesn't stop there.
No. On December 9th, a group called Adrenaline Jazz was up here in June. And Adrenaline Jazz, it kind of has two identities. There's the, I guess, non-Jewish aspect of Adrenaline Jazz, and then the Jewish aspect of Adrenaline Jazz is actually a group called Jew Jam. Which is a Jewish jam type band, and it features B3 guru Ken Burkhart and once again, my buddy Tom Lippincott. And, you know, it depends where you are. Some folks get a little bent up with the name, but, you know, it is what it is.
That fascinates me. You know, what kind of objections can people have to, well, as I said to you, I was unaware that Jew was a pejorative term.
I was unaware of it as well. But that's the band. That's the name. And again, we do Jewish liturgical material, but in a very different way. Mm-hmm. I mean, with a lot of groove, a lot of funk. And if anybody goes back to the June 15th, I think, appearance that we had here
with
on Ed Show.
Yes, South Florida Arts
South
Beat.
Florida Arts Beat. Always a pleasure to be here and perform here. And we called ourselves Adrenaline Jazz, but we did a Jewish program of... Of Adrenaline Jazz plays Jewish music, so that's what we did.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But, you know.
But at any rate, the music was the same. It's all about the music.
It's all about
the
music.
It's all about the music.
Exactly.
No, you know, I get such a kick out of that because you know, I'm not a big believer in a whole lot of rules, especially if I can't see a real good reason for them.
Right.
But at any rate, that's happening on Sunday.
Right. And that's December 9th, and that'll be... taking place for the Chabad in the Plaza del Mar in Manalapan, Florida. And if anybody wants more information about that, they can go to www.chabadspb.org. It's a free concert.
The price is right.
The Chabad folks always put on a great, great event, and there will be a candle lighting. We start at 4. Candle lighting is at 5, and then we'll continue to play after that. And the telephone number there, if anyone wants more information, is 561-889-3499. Love to see you there, the folks in Palm Beach County.
Or anybody who's willing to make the drive.
Absolutely.
I will see about getting that information up on the Real Tracy Fields Facebook page. While we're talking about webby things, where can people find you online, Reuben Hawk?
They can find us at www.chasidicjazz.com, chasidicjazz.com. And you can also find some interesting stuff on the Zaviot website. And I guess we'll talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely, it's
mentioned
time.
That word right, and that's Zaviot.com. And yeah, Zaviot, as you and I were discussing briefly before we came back on. When I lived in Israel from 84 to 88, I was really fortunate to become a member of this fantastic jazz quartet. And Zaviot, as we discussed earlier, means angles. And we came up with the name because we had people in the quartet from all over the world. We had a bass player from the UK, guitar player from Canada, clarinetist from South Africa, myself from the United States. And the group consisted of Harold Rubin, and still does, on clarinet. The great Harold Rubin, that is. Originally a gentleman by the name of Tommy Bellman on guitar from Canada. Of more recent time, we've been working with a very gifted young Israeli guitarist by the name of Arli Liberman, who's now living in New Zealand, and the great Mark Smullyan, who is somehow related to Gary Smullyan. There aren't that many Smullyans out there.
Yeah.
On bass, and myself on drums. And as I gave you the website address, if I didn't, it's zaviot.com. And if anyone's interested, you're more than welcome to download our newest CD called 20 Years On for free. If you'd like, there is a voluntary contribution that you can make. That's, of course, appreciated. But if not, just grab the music while you can and enjoy it.
Again, the price is right. And the price is right, that is, it's right, whatever's right for you. So, you know, if you have $4 or $5 million that you want to drop on this recording, go for it.
We'll take it.
So you've got this new recording. Tell me, or I guess it's not brand new anymore, because since I'm still living back in the 20th century, I have not yet been able to bring it to the evening jazz audience, for which I do apologize. But tell us about it.
Well, you know, Zaviot is, you know, very special group. You know, when we came together, we made the very strong decision that we would not play anybody else's music. This was a band that rehearsed constantly, whether we had gigs or not. 3 to 4 days a week, we were playing, constantly putting this product out there and growing it, nourishing it, nurturing it. And everybody in the band, we just had a bunch of real creative spirits. And I guess we all vibrated in the same frequency, because that sometimes can be a real problem if creative spirits do not meet on the same plane. But this was really, one of those great situations. I guess a band like the Rolling Stones, whatever it is, there's that something special that's there. And, anytime we come together, it's a learning experience. The music is based on either melody, harmony, rhythm. It could be anything. And, we hunker down and say, okay, what are we going to do with this? And how are we going to do it better? And how are we going to make this thing happen? So we came together for a 20-some-odd-year reunion at the Red Sea Jazz Festival this August in Israel, mm-hmm. to also celebrate Harold Rubin's 80th birthday.
And happy belated to Harold.
Yes. And my wife actually is in Israel right now, and she's calling Harold, I think, not as we speak, the hour's not, but she'll be on the phone with him very soon. She needs to hook up with him while she's there. He has some recorded music to give to her to bring back. And Savio is a very big part of my life.
20 years. Yeah. That is a long relationship, and I'm thinking of it as being, I guess it is kind of like, for want of a better way to describe it, a group marriage. Any long-term relationship requires, of course it requires adjustment, but there's also a lot of development that happens.
Yes.
And how are you guys as a group different now than you were when you started out?
I guess, immature.
You're more immature now?
We're more immature now.
Love
exactly.
It.
Interesting. Maybe we are in a way, but I guess we still come to the music with the same excitement. But, you start to, I guess, relax into things a bit differently. Priorities of the music may change a bit, the creative process, just you're constantly growing with it. So I think at this point, there's an element of relaxation, but the tension and the excitement still exists.
As relaxed as you can be on a high wire.
That's exactly right. Hanging on by your fingernails.
And I guess that kind of brings me back to something I did want to ask you about in terms of living a dream. You got quite a nice life going there, Ruben Hawk. I asked you before we took to the air here what you would change, if anything, and you told me nothing.
Yeah.
I love that. So you've got the Zaviot Project. You've got the Hasidic Jazz Project. You probably have 10 or 12 other musical projects that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, there are a couple of things out there.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back to
right.
that. And you've got your medical practice and your family and mm-hmm. everything all fitting together. And you are living, one or several dreams?
Yeah.
So, the easy question and the one I will ask now is, gee, what's that like?
I don't know. You don't think much about it. You just do it.
Okay. And then the next question is, gee, how do you do that? How do you get to, how do you go from being this young drummer in Brooklyn to this mature person who's living several dreams at once? What advice would you give the rest of us?
Don't give up. If you want to do it, just dedicate yourself. Work hard at it. Don't let anybody put you down and tell you can't do that.
I read something somewhere the other day and said, if anybody tells you you can't, well, then you have to.
You must. You absolutely have to.
So what is one of, or maybe the biggest obstacle that you can recall, in your career to date or your careers to date that stood between you and living these dreams?
I think musically, a big difficulty was the fact that I'm an Orthodox Jew and a Sabbath observer. Not coming out on Friday night.
Yeah, I guess that would be an issue. But,
yeah.
As we discussed, it's like, doggone it, I'm in here every night.
Yeah, exactly. So that had, that brought some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what that did, though, is it just inspired me to just try to do as much as I could do on my own and even think about, being a leader and saying, certain things you're going to have to try to control, and if you can at least develop some productive things, then you can decide what and when.
Mm-hmm. And you just figure out how to make it work.
You try very hard to.
All right, let's go back over it all once again, shall we? My guest this evening here in the Igloo is Reuben Hawk. He is the leader, the founder, the, is it fair to say, I guess, the guiding spirit behind the Hasidic Jazz Project. The CJP will be performing on Saturday night, this Saturday night, which is the 8th of December, at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach. The garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street. It is on the first floor of the parking garage there. So, yes, parking is easy. Mm-hmm. And we've talked a little bit about some of the folks who will be appearing with you. It's the first night of Hanukkah, so we'll be, or you will be doing some Hanukkah tunes and some other stuff. You've expanded the repertoire, so we'll be hearing some things that may be familiar from the live CJP recording, which has got some airing on Evening Jazz, because it's something that I like quite a lot. And let's see, you've got other work coming up on Sunday. I'll let you run that down again.
Right, so once again, we'll be at the Chabad in the Plaza Del Mar with Jujam, or well, a.k.a. Adrenaline Jazz, with Ken Burkhardt on B3 and Tom Lippincott from 4 p.m. to about 5:30.
For the second day of Hanukkah.
Correct.
Okay. And let's see, people can find you on the web at
HasidicJazz.com and Zaviot.com, Zaviot.com.
And we'll be hearing from Zaviot in a minute, but what's the super secret special surprise that awaits folks at Zaviot.com?
Free CD.
It's a
free music.
Thing. Okay. Or, you know, as I said, if you got $5 or $6 million that you want to spend on it, that would be a worthy investment.
Absolutely.
Know? Reuben Hawk, thank you so much for coming in tonight. I'm going to ask you to introduce this piece from Zaviot, which we will use to say goodnight to our friends. But before we do that, is there anything I haven't asked you about that I should have? Anything you want to say to my friends in Radioland?
Hopefully we'll be back to talk again.
I look forward to it. Okay, what is this we're going to listen to?
Halfway, which appears on the new Zaviot CD, and beautiful, hauntingly gorgeous melody written by, I believe, the Mark Simullian. The bassist wrote this piece. He's a prolific composer. He's actually writing some movie scores right now in the UK. Graduate of the Manus School of Music. And this is one of Mark's pieces.
Reuben Hawk, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Zaviot, another of the many ensembles with which my guest this evening, Reuben Hawk, works. Reuben Hawk and the Hasidic Jazz Project will be performing at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach this Saturday. Showtime there is 8 o'clock. The Arts Garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street.